It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. All of our most recent recaps of our shows are there. You can just click on the picture and it'll take you to the recap as well as the podcast. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts. And I would highly recommend that you go check out Rick Turnquist's most recent op-ed, which is on my website. And guess what? Facebook, it's called Tyranny and Bankruptcy. And Facebook would not let us boost that. So we need to do that organically. So be sure and go and check that out and share that with your friends and family. It is a very important piece. You can understand it's a very important piece. If Facebook's not going to let us boost it, you can realize that there's a lot of good information in their producer, Steve.
Can we all look at that and see the irony in that with a title like that and what they choose to do?
It is absolutely astounding. And so be sure and check that out. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And that voice that you heard is producer Steve. And he is part of this great team that I get to work with. And that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And in this whole group is you, the listener. I so appreciate each and every one of you. Today, live with intention. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And again, you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Today is the last day of Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas. And this actually was the time that the Magi came to visit the Christ child. And so this is the last day of Christmas. I wish each and every one of you a Merry Christmas. There's still a few little things that I want to do. I actually have this great, I think I made some of these cookies for the office, Steve, but they're my great-grandmother's recipe of a spice cookie when she came over from Germany. And I'd like to give that to some neighbors. So I'm hoping to bake some of those and get those to my neighbors by this weekend. So I'm extending my Christmas season just a little bit.
Well, here's hoping we all benefit from your baking.
You want some of those as well. And then we're moving into the season of Epiphany in the church season. And then this continues on, I believe, until Lent. You know this a little bit more than I do. Do I have that correct, Steve, or do you know?
Well, it's funny. When you were on our pre-call, you had mentioned this, and it took me right back to this past weekend because my wife was reading up on this because one of her office workers gave her a late gift, and she mentioned Epiphany.
Uh-huh.
So right away, she goes to the different search engines to have a better understanding.
And so we are in the season of Epiphany, and then this, I believe it goes to Lent. And if I'm incorrect on that, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Today is a historic day, and tomorrow's a historic day as well, but today is the election for these two senators in Georgia. And it will determine the way the Senate goes here. And if, in fact, the Senate goes Democrat, and if, in fact, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are inaugurated as president, then I'm super concerned about what's going on for our country. I hope that the people of Georgia, they show up to vote. I hope and pray that it is a transparent and fair election. If, in fact, the Dems win fair and square, hey, that's okay. But we've seen that there's not a lot of fair and square. Do you realize I haven't heard that word fair and square for a long time, Steve?
Well, and there's a reason for that, too.
Yes, we need to pray for our country today and for this election in Georgia. And then, of course, tomorrow for the Electoral College, what's going to happen there. I would recommend that you go back and listen to the show from yesterday. I thought Josh Phillip with the Epoch Times really explained the different scenarios very well, Steve.
He did. And Well, I just appreciate the informed people that we have on the show that you go out and bring to the airwaves for us here. Just everything you just now said regarding what's going on in Georgia today, it just, Trump, he nailed it down last night. He tried to paint the correct picture for what happens if this goes awry in Georgia. Again, fair and square. But if it does not go the right way, and all that's going to happen. And we are at the point now where people can just, we are beyond the point where people can just say, oh, well, okay, sarah, sarah, we'll just see where this goes. And it's like, no, you don't want to see where this goes.
You don't want to see where this goes because we move away from fair and square. The Constitution, I would say, was put in place to, quote unquote, fair and square, meaning that it goes to the vision of the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, with these inalienable rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that's just about as close as you can get to fair and square. And when we look at what has happened regarding voter integrity and election irregularities, we realize that there has been a concerted effort through lots of different ways, mail-in voting, refugee resettlement, caravans coming to the border, illegal immigration, switching of votes. All of these things have occurred to really erode the vote of everyday hardworking Americans.
And yet we don't get that. We don't get that. And I mentioned it yesterday. One of the guests last night on the Late Show with Colbert was Stacey Abrams. Of all everything we know to be true about her, here we are celebrating this. She's now gained celebrity status. All the wrongdoing in this whole realm of legal voting, proper voting, which is such a cornerstone to who we are and how we will continue to exist in the future. And here we are putting her on TV and giving her celebrity status for all the wrongdoing.
And that's why, Steve, that we do this show, is that we can help you get your brain around these issues so that you can engage in conversations with your friends and your family and your colleagues. And Patty just texted me. She said, yes, the Epiphany season runs through the first Sunday of Lent. A couple of things here. We're going to talk to Jen Hewlin here in just a moment. But my friends, as we look at these issues, as you dissect these issues, look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. This 5-star state certification program for our bars and our restaurants and our taverns and our gyms has force written all over it. And then we saw that just like with a flip of a switch, Governor Polis decided to change where we are on this dial. This dial, I tell you, is one of the goofiest things that I've seen. And somebody mentioned to me, if you even get over to the green on the dial, it's not totally opened up for our businesses. You talk about force.
I think you nailed him to the wall yesterday, though. If you want to go back and repeat what you said yesterday?
I don't remember what it was exactly.
Well, the report that came out last week regarding our status of our economy.
Yes.
You need to say that again.
Okay, yes. It was an AP report that came out last week. We reported on New Year's Eve, is that Colorado has gone from the top 10, one of the top 10 economies in the nation out of the 50 states, to the bottom 9. And I actually think that is why he, with a flip of a switch, moved the dial. But what was interesting is those businesses that had jumped through all the hoops and agreed to all these draconian measures for them and for their patrons, they didn't get upped on the dial. So they've gone to all this expense. They've said, okay, we'll do it. And then, in essence, they were at the same spot. This guy is really... He's not leading. That's the other thing that is so frustrating, is a leader manages expectations. A leader has a vision of where we're going to go. And that vision of a real leader, a good leader, is, and he's really supposed to be representing the people, but that would be moving us towards freedom, towards protecting property rights, towards trying to figure out how we can get these businesses open. We're going to talk to Jen here in just a moment. Before we do that, though, you know, let's talk to Jen Steve, and then when we come back, we'll go through those quotes. I thought that they were pretty important. We've got Jen Hewlin on the line. She is an entrepreneur. She is the owner of Water's Edge Winery. It is located right here in Centennial. So it's on Arapahoe Road, just west of University. It's on the north side, just north of the South Glen shopping area. Jen Hewlin, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Good to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. What is happening over at the winery, Jen?
Well, I guess based on all the things you're talking about, we are reopening for indoor today at 25% capacity. That gives us 30 people indoors. So we've got everything in place. We've been working hard to, because we've been doing all outdoors. So now I said, hurry, dust everything again. We've been dusting bottles and cleaning and scrubbing like we always do. And we are prepared. We've got Chef D working on a new menu of specials, including crab cakes. And I think he said something about a potato chorizo soup.
I'm going to have to come over.
Learn more about that today. Yeah, come on.
Well, I'm glad you're getting some indoor. I was over last week with a friend of mine. We wanted to get together to just celebrate Christmas and the New Year. And we were sitting outside and we had the blankets and we had the fire and we had our coats. But after about an hour and 15 minutes, my feet were starting to get cold. And so we did cut that short a little bit, but it was really fun to see her. I know that you've been jumping through all these crazy hoops. Dial this, dial that, dial. Let's dial to freedom, Jen.
Amen. Well, that five-star certification is something that when we took a look at, we decided what was best for us and for our customers was to not follow that. We didn't think that was on the side of freedom or on the side of reasonable. The cost to my employees and to me was too great. And so this is actually a step in the right direction. Chad and I left town and went to Florida for Christmas. And let me tell you, we dined indoors from Nashville to Georgia to Florida. Even in Dallas, we were indoor dining, and everybody was fine. And it's wonderful that these folks down in these southern states that have freedom, you know, to see that made my heart sore, but it also made it very heavy coming back here, knowing that we were still dining outdoors. So I'm very grateful for Jared Polis to at least wisen up, and maybe it's because of the economy. I'm not sure, but gosh, we are so grateful just to be able to be indoors and open and keeping people safe and fed and giving them good wine like we always do. So we're still fighting to get fully open. But yeah, I noticed on that dial, there is no fully open on the dial. I don't know what that means. Isn't that strange?
It's very strange. And Jen, when you said that your heart soared, S-O-A-R-E-D, when you saw freedom, then I thought you come back to Colorado and your heart is sore, S-O-R-E, because we don't have much freedom. So, hey, Jen Hewlin, how can people get more information? And I also thank you. You are a valued partner of the show. I greatly appreciate that. How can people get more information about Water's Edge?
Well, thanks, Kim. We enjoy being a part of your show, and we love you and Steve greatly and all of your wonderful people, Patty. You can reach us on Facebook. We always are updating posts there. I know it's kind of antiquated these days, but Facebook, and we're at Water's Edge Winery Denver, Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Denver. Or you can see us on our website. It's wewdenver.com. Swing by, call us. We do have to-go menus. You can still do food to-go if you're not comfortable dining in yet. We will continue to have our patio open with the tents and the fireplaces if you prefer to dine outside. As long as the weather is nice, it's still really nice out there. We were out there on Sunday, and it was beautiful, 50 degrees.
It's kind of like après ski is sitting around the fire there. So
yeah, absolutely. Okay. But please do call to make a reservation, because we are limited seating indoors for now. So
okay.
720-381-6663.
720-381-6623. Did I get that?
No, it's 720-381-6663.
6663. Okay, there we go. 720-381-6663. Jen, thanks so much. We will talk to you soon. I'm going to be over for some of those crab cakes.
Awesome. We'll see you guys soon.
Okay. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I've got a couple of quotes that I think are really, really important. We're going to go through some headlines. I will talk to Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. And then Randall O'Toole, you know him. He is an urban and land specialist, transportation specialist, and he's had a couple of important pieces out there that we want to chat with him about. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I love hearing from each and every one of you. Before we get into all of this, I also want to say thank you to another one of my great partners, and that is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations here in Colorado, and they are basically a locally owned business. They are a franchise business, so when you patronize any of these of my great sponsors, these are individual entrepreneurs. And my friends, as much as possible, be sure and give your business to these local businesses. So Hooters Lone Tree is open for dine-in at a limited capacity. They have to-go delivery and curbside pickup. And then Westminster, Aurora, Loveland, and Colorado Springs, they have their patio dining with heaters. And I know that's warm and toasty. They have all kinds of specials. Wednesdays are Wings Day. And that is for to-go or dine-in. And you can buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. They have lunch specials. I have come to really love their fish and chips. Those are delicious. They have kids eat free promotions as well as happy hour and then football party packs. For more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. And be sure and treat yourself and let them do the cooking one of these nights. Our quote for today, Steve, as since we're having Randall on, I wanted to talk about transportation, freedom of mobility. My friend Helen Raleigh, who immigrated from China, said a free society is a society where you get to go where you want to, when you want to. So that means the freedom of mobility, your car. A non-free society will be moving you to riding around on bicycles, in buses, trains. And so I thought, can I get a freedom of mobility quote? And this was so interesting from William Orville Douglas. He was an American jurist and politician and served as an associate justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. He was nominated by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. He was confirmed at the age of 40, which was one of the youngest justices appointed to the court. He was born in 1898. He died in 1980. First of all, I really wasn't familiar with him, Steve. Were you?
No, you had asked me about him, I guess, yesterday in some of your show prep, and I said, I know... vaguely know this name, but I couldn't connect the dots.
Okay. Well, I have an excellent quote at the end of the show, and there's one regarding the Constitution that I just had to have, but this was the first quote. He said, "Freedom of movement is the very essence of our free society. Once the right to travel is curtailed, all other rights suffer." Can you think about what's going on right now in our country? Stay in your home. Don't travel. Don't go see your family. If you travel, you're going to have to jump through these hoops. If you want to go to a restaurant under the five-star state certification program, they have to take your name and all your information and track you and have that all that data. I mean, I thought that was a really powerful quote, Steve.
It is. And then we would bring it again back to or bring it forward to where we're at now. Talk about the airlines forcing you to prove that you have a COVID negative test
or a vaccine
or on top of that now, a vaccine. So, you know, if you're going to travel with us, we need these documents.
And the problem is, and we've talked about it, even with Governor Polis, and when he has instituted this draconian dial, and we've got these little businesses, they're getting desperate. They're like, we'll do anything. Well, don't do anything, because, or just anything, because once we give away our liberty, once we give away those rights, it's so difficult to get them back. So I thought this next quote was really important as well. This is what William O. Douglas, who was a Supreme Court justice, said. He said, "The Constitution and the Bill of Rights we designed to get the government off the backs of the people, all the people. Those great documents guarantee to us all the rights to personal and spiritual self-fulfillment. But that guarantee is not self-executing. As nightfall does not come all at once, neither does oppression. In both instances, there is a twilight when everything remains seemingly unchanged. And it is in such a twilight that we all must be most aware of the change in the air, however slight, lest we become unwitting victims of the darkness." Whoa, Steve.
That's a much more formal description of what we call the frog in the kettle today. Mm-hmm. That you throw the frog in there when it's already water's boiling, he will jump out immediately in self-preservation. But you turn up the water slowly. You turn up the heat slowly. He probably won't notice.
So 1 year, let's think about 1 year ago today. The economy was booming. I've talked to a number of small business people that said the first 2 months of last year, they were headed for a record month or a record year. And then COVID hits. And you see these Democrat governors and mayors step in and shut these businesses down. You can see that the Democrat Party has become one of destruction and division. And I would say that a year ago, we might have been in that twilight. I could feel something was going on, but most people were in a good situation, want to take care of their families. But I continue to see this continual encroachment of government. And I think I'm grateful in a way for COVID, because, man, it took the veil off on what was happening there. And it culminated, Steve, with this presidential election. When the people of America showed up and they voted, and on election night, the far left Dems that have been, I think, messing around with these elections for a long time realized that their shenanigans weren't going to get them where they needed to on their vote count. That's when you had those vote dumps in the middle of the night where they patted all these poll watchers on the head and said, go ahead, go home. There's nothing to see here. But we've actually seen on camera nefarious things going on. And I think I'm super grateful because it has shed the light on that. And the American people need to pay attention on what is going to happen tomorrow regarding the Electoral College. Your quick comment on that. And then I wanted to talk about amen or a woman.
You want to save that for when Jason's here. But comment. It just blows me away. The practical application of who we just talked to, Jen Hewlett, when she traveled just now, she named the different cities where she was able to open dine. I, you know, go back and listen to that and look at the governor of each one of those states as compared to what we're seeing here or in my home state, Pennsylvania, which has suffered immensely under a blue governor.
And, you know, we had Reggie Carr on January 1.
Yeah, Friday.
And he said he grew up and he was told, and this was told to a lot of people, that Democrats stood for everyday hardworking people and Republicans were the fat cats that wanted to get rich off the backs of people. Actually, there are Republicans that don't adhere to this vision of smaller government, lower taxes. But the Republican idea of smaller government and lower taxes really stands for everyday people. Before we get over here to Jason, though, you probably have all seen this. Yesterday, and this was from Fox News, Representative Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat from Missouri, altered the traditional ending of amen by saying amen and a woman as he delivered the opening prayer for the 117th Congress on Sunday, raising our eyebrows. The video was posted online, and he was criticized by other lawmakers who said he was wrong to attempt to assign gender to the word amen. A representative from Pennsylvania took to Twitter to note that the word amen is Latin for so be it. It's not a gendered word, he posted. Unfortunately, the facts are irrelevant to progressives. Unbelievable. Steve, just a quick comment. Any pastor that is actually gone through seminary and has not studied Latin, I have to first of all question their training. Secondly, I grew up Methodist, and I realized that generally, I mean, there are certainly Christians in each of the different denominations, but what I saw happening with the Methodist Church, as well as many of the mainline churches, is they have moved from preaching the gospel of peace and justice and salvation to social justice, which is division and does not have its eye on the gospel of Christ. And quite certainly, Representative Cleaver is all about social justice and the idea that, and this is the other thing, social justice has really gone after the straight men, basically, and really gone after straight Caucasian men. However, you can add in any of the other descriptors. They're going after straight men. And you can see that just with what happened here. And it's been a continual thing. It started, one of the big proponents of that was feminism, where feminism was not actually empowering women. It was taking down straight men, and it was all about abortion. I know that's pretty heavy, but it took me a lot of years to figure out that that's what it has become. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. We're talking about a lot of heavy things this morning because there's a lot going on in our country. And I was thinking about you this morning and the conversations. You're a valued partner of the show. Over the years, the nuggets of wisdom that you have brought to the show. And we're just in such an interesting time right now, Jason McBride. And I know that you have many years with Presidential Wealth Management. You've seen a lot of different things going on. What's your thoughts about the election in Georgia today, the Electoral College tomorrow?
Well, again, very hard to predict what's actually going to occur there. I think yesterday you saw the markets react pretty negatively, and a lot of that was attributed to the fear that there's going to be a clean sweep in Georgia by the two Democrat candidates. And if so, I mean, then it's pretty much carte blanche for them to do whatever the heck they want to, and the market knows that that's not going to be positive for our economy. You may get some more stimulus short term. You may get more welfare type things, such as cancellation of some student debt and that type of thing. But a lot of that is not going to be a positive for the economy. Higher taxes won't be good for the economy. More regulations, Kim, are never good for the economy. And I think the market showed us, a little bit of concern about that yesterday. I think the Dow was down over 600 points. Mm-hmm. It did recover partially, but we still ended up down about 400 there. NASDAQ had a rough day as well. It was down almost 200 points. And the volume was pretty heavy too, Kim. So this wasn't just mom and pop selling. This was some of the big institutions unloading shares.
So, Jason, a plan is so important. And to have a seasoned veteran like you who's seen these ups and these downs, it's important to have this experience. And so what would you recommend that people do right now? Because we're now at the new year. You had some great strategies for year end. What about right now?
Well, I think use a little common sense, Kim. I said yesterday, if you haven't done a thorough plan to look at where are you at in the race at this point, and are you taking more risk right now than you actually have to? I mean, the market has had some pretty nice gains. Again, I've used this analogy before, Kim. You might already have crossed the finish line and you don't even know it. You don't want to trip and fall on your face. while you're taking a victory lap because you're still running too fast and you don't need to. So, again, how much risk do you need to take? Where are you at? And you can't know those things unless you do a thorough analysis of your assets, your income sources, your expenses, you know, what's Social Security going to look like for you? How does a pension integrate in if you have that? So, again, sounds boring, but doing a thorough plan can uncover and enlighten in so many different ways.
So give Jason a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. We're going to have history today, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
Thank you so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Randall O'Toole. He is an urban planning specialist, transportation specialist. You won't want to miss this.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Hey, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get a first look at all of our upcoming guests. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And on the line with me is Randall O'Toole. You know him. He is an expert in urban use, land planning, transportation. He is published in many different periodicals. He his website is ti.org/theantiplanner, and he has important information there. Randall O'Toole, Happy New Year. It's great to have you on the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. And you have had two really important pieces recently that I wanted to chat with you about. And the first one is regarding RTD is going after parking spaces to justify transit failures. And you said that actually during the springtime lockdown that we had here in Colorado, that RTD was actually not honoring that lockdown, and they had staffers that were out there nosing around on to see whether or not everyday people were fitting into their urbanist view of what they want our lives to be. So take it from there, Randall.
Well, their idea is that parking is a waste of space, and a parking lot in a transit, so-called transit-oriented development along one of their light rail lines would be better used as more housing. The idea is the denser the housing, the more people might ride their light rail, especially if they don't have any place to park their cars, then they'd have to ride light rail. So they went out and counted to see how many parking spaces were vacant, which to them showed that people didn't need the parking places. Now, if you were going to check and see how many parking places were vacant in a lot near you, what time of day would you do it? You probably wouldn't do it in the middle of the day when people were likely to be at work. Well, that's exactly when they did it. They did it from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. When people were probably at work, and they said, look, their spaces are vacant, and so therefore people don't need them, so we can take them away and turn them into housing. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Why didn't they look at 10 p.m. to 3 a.m.? Their theory was every place was supposed to be locked down. Nobody was supposed to be at work except critical workers. And so they shouldn't be there. But if only critical workers were supposed to be at work, First of all, who's to say that the people in those apartment buildings weren't critical workers? And second of all, why was RTD out there nosing around in those parking lots?
It is such an important question. And I had on yesterday Josh Phillip with the Epoch Times, who had done a really important piece regarding the World Economic Forum, has said that by 2030, that they want to basically abolish private property rights. And Randall, I didn't really realize this, but using public policy and really forcing through public policy, through economic development dollars, variety of things, this transit-oriented development and pushing people into apartments is really an assault on property rights. What's your thoughts?
Well, to some degree it is, especially in Colorado, where condos are rare, and so multifamily dwellings are almost certainly going to be rented. Even outside of Colorado, about 7 out of 8 dwellings, multifamily dwellings, are rented. 7 out of 8 single-family dwellings are owned. And so, therefore, when you say we want to have more multifamily and less single-family, we're saying we want more rented housing and less home ownership. And I think home ownership is an important thing. A lot of people benefit from home ownership. You get a stock of savings. You can use that money to start a small business. You can use that money to put your kids through college, borrow against your house for those things. And it turns out children in areas whose families own their own homes tend to do better in school if they're low income. A high income, it doesn't matter so much. But for low income children in low income families, they tend to do better in school, all else being equal. If their parents have the same backgrounds, the same educations, and so on, just being in a place where they own their own home, they do better in school. So home ownership is valuable, and to say that we're just going to pretend it's not valuable, and we're going to say that only 40% of people get to own their own homes, which is actually the target in some places, whereas nationwide about 65% of households own their own homes, is essentially saying 25% of the people who would otherwise own their own homes don't get to. We're going to make it impossible for them to do it by pricing them out of the market and things like that. And this whole idea that we should pack people in stack and pack, five-story buildings along light rail lines in order to get more customers for light rail, it twists around what transit is supposed to be all about. Instead of saying we're going to have transit to serve the people who can't or don't want to drive, they're saying we're going to make the people serve transit. We spend billions of dollars building light rail, then we're going to make the people ride the light rail to justify our high cost. So they went out in these parking lots, they were empty, and they assumed the people don't need them, but in reality, light rail doesn't work. And so they drive to work.
So Randall, really what was occurring here, and I saw this when I was on city council, is that you have politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties that go out and do a survey or get information like this to push a specific narrative. The next thing you're going to see at these different entities like the CML, like the Colorado Municipal League, and where they bring in all of these city council people and really they kind of move their opinion, and then they also are down there lobbying at the state house, or there's an organization for county commissioners where these are really being they're headed by bureaucrats with a specific agenda, and that agenda typically is not very friendly to everyday hardworking people. And when I was on city council, somebody said to me that basically that I represented the city. It's like, I don't represent the city. I represent the citizens of the city. I represent the everyday hardworking people. And I've seen a lot of politicians that think that now they are representing this entity instead of everyday people, or they're representing RTD, trying to make the case for having RTD. When I drive over here, Randall O'Toole, when I come to the studio, I'll look over and there is not a person on an empty train. In a private business, if you continued to have a business and you had no customers, you would change your business, correct?
Or you'd go out of business.
Right.
But transit agencies, they can just requisition more money when they waste money on things that people don't need and end up running empty trains all around. They just requisition more money from the taxpayers. That we're seeing that happening at the federal level. Our highways are moving more than 90% as many people as they were moving back before the pandemic. But transit is only moving about 35%. And instead of saying we need to up ridership or we need to cut back on cost to account for lower ridership, they're saying we'll just requisition more money from the federal government. And Congress gave them $27 billion last week, and they're going to probably give them another $18 billion in the first few weeks of 2021. And, you know, it makes money unimportant to them. They'll just waste money like crazy. Fast tracks, the light rail lines in Denver were supposed to cost $4 billion. They cost $8 billion. Now they want to build a front range commuter rail from Fort Collins to Pueblo. They're predicting that's going to cost $2.5 billion. It's probably going to be really $5 billion or more. But why even spend $2.5 billion? They're not expecting very many people to ride it. It's probably going to cost more. It's probably going to carry fewer people than they expect. But the goal is to change people's lifestyles. The goal is to build transportation systems for the way we think people ought to live rather than the way people do live.
And the way people want to live. And it's like, who made them the God of our lives to determine how we should live our lives? It's so antithetical to the American idea on that. Randall, we're going to go to break to wrap this particular component up, because I wanted to talk about this this high-speed train between Pueblo and the Front Range, what that looks like. What's the final thought that you'd like to leave on this particular part of the show?
Well, I do want to admit that they did look at some of the parking lots during the nighttime. They looked at them from 9 p.m. to midnight. But they did that in September after the lockdown was over. And, you know, at 9 p.m. to midnight, at least some people are going to be out at restaurants or theater or whatever. And they pretended like that if there's any spaces available at 9 p.m. and midnight, that they're being wasted. And really, what was being wasted was the intelligence of the people who were trying to read the reports and decipher just what RTD was all about. They were really trying to deceive the public.
Well, and that's the thing about it is when we get information, and we need to be putting our thinking caps on as citizens, saying who, what, when, why, where. So your piece here is so important, because you're saying who looked at this? Why did they look at this? When did they look at this? And those are the critical questions if we're going to have critical thinking. We're talking with Randall O'Toole, and he is an expert in urban land use as well as transportation. You can find him at ti.org/antiplanner. So much information there. Highly recommend that you go to that website. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great partner of the Kim Munson Show. They're a family-owned business. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado. It's a fun thing on a weekend to just go down to Sedalia. It's down Santa Fe towards from Littleton down to Castle Rock, and there's some great restaurants there. Get something to eat and check out castlegate.com. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world, and they have these really cool watches that they are now adding to their repertoire. So go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Randall O'Toole.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thrilled to have on the line with me Randall O'Toole. He is really, I think, one of the most important voices in our country regarding urban land use, housing, transportation. You can find all of his writings at ti.org/anti-planner. I have that right, correct, Randall?
Yes, not the anti-planner, just anti-planner. But you can just go to ti.org or Google anti-planner, and I'm the first thing on the list.
Okay. And I want to ask you about another piece. This was something that was published December 9th. Before I do that, though, Ted just texted me. He said, "For my job, I often work along I-25 in the Denver Metro. I watch the light rail all day long. In the last 9 months, I have never seen more than 6 people on a train, and it is extremely rare to see more than 2 people, even during rush hour. Half of these trains are completely empty. Our elected officials know that they are wasting our tax dollars." What's your comment on that, Randall?
Well, the transit agencies will claim that they're carrying essential workers to work. But we know that people are 6 times more likely to get respiratory infections if they ride transit than if they drive around in their personal cars. And so what they're saying is, we think it's important that essential workers be exposed to diseases on our transit system. I think we should have shut down transit when the COVID virus took place and we decided to lock down restaurants and bars and things like that. Transit should have been one of the things that was locked down. Instead, we're wasting billions and billions of dollars running empty trains and exposing more people.
Wow. Hey, producer Steve had a comment.
Well, to Ted's text, he did say along I-25, the corridor.
Yes.
To be fair, just to say, because I often observe the same thing, but I am so far south on that line. So the further south you go, the fewer passengers you're going to see, just by design. So I don't know where Ted is observing that, and he'll probably text right away and tell us. But the further south you go, whether it's a northbound or a southbound train, the fewer people you're going to see. That's just the way that line is designed.
And yes, and I haven't been going downtown much, so I can't comment on that. Randall, let's jump over here because we've got just a few minutes. The piece that you had in Complete Colorado regarding fast tracks, you said it's a cautionary tale for the Front Range rail scheme. You said that CPR, Colorado Public Radio, now that's another thing I don't think that we need to be spending public money on, but anyway, said that RTD is enthused about the idea of spending $2.5 billion for a 45-mile-per-hour Front Range train from Fort Collins to Pueblo. It says RTD's own fast tracks rail project ended up costing more than twice as what was promised to voters. And RTD had to delay construction on the proposed line to Longmont. I really don't. I've heard people talk about this, but I don't think people are going to ride it, Randall.
Well, first of all, I want to chide you a little bit because earlier in the conversation, you called it a high-speed train.
Yeah.
45 miles an hour, that's not high speed. That's a low-speed train.
True that.
Let's call a spade a spade.
True.
For $2.5 billion, you're going to have a low-speed train. If they want to have a high-speed train, it's going to be $10, $20, $30 billion at least, you know. And the difference between our highways and our rail lines and public transit and Amtrak and things like that is that pretty much our highways were paid for by the users. The interstates were 100% paid for by the users. State highways, pretty much 100% paid for by users. local streets and roads are not so heavily paid for by users, but the total subsidies to highways add up to around a penny per passenger mile. Subsidies to RTD and other transit systems are more than a dollar a passenger mile. Subsidies to Amtrak are more than 30 cents a passenger mile. So we're spending enormous amounts subsidizing feel-good transportation like Amtrak and urban transit when hardly anybody is using them, and the subsidies just end up being way out of proportion to the demand. The fare to ride RTD or other transit is more than it costs to drive a car. The fare to ride Amtrak is twice as much as it costs to fly on the average. So we've got high fares, much higher subsidies for Amtrak and urban transit, and people don't get it. They've been told so often that urban transit and Amtrak saves energy when it doesn't, when they don't. We've been told that they help poor people when they don't. We've been told that they relieve congestion when they don't. And so we go along with spending billions and billions of dollars. And, of course, the nickname of our new president-elect is Amtrak Joe, because he lived in Delaware and took Amtrak to work every day when he worked in Washington, D.C. And so he's going to be promoting more high-speed trains, promoting more intercity trains, promoting more urban rail transit, and it's all going to be money going down a rat hole.
And that is people's money. That is our money, or it is our kids' money, because it would have to be borrowed. Just very quickly, Ted, our listener, said he typically observes RTD from 470 up to Highway 6. Okay, we've got about 4 minutes, Randall. And RTD is funded through a variety of different ways, but one of those is sales tax. And I don't see politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, those PBIs, I don't see them wanting to give up any of that sales tax. In fact, I think the Colorado legislature is rubbing their hands. They'd like to get their hands on that taxing entity. And so we have something that is generating income. It's for a product that people don't really want to use. They're running empty trains, but they don't want to give up that taxing authority. What's your thoughts on that, Randall?
Well, the really scary thing is that they say, well, we're taking essential workers to work, and that means workers whose incomes tend to be lower than average, because people with above average incomes mostly can work at home. And so low-income people supposedly are using RTD when RTD's ridership is only a little more than about half of what it was before the pandemic. But here's the thing. Only 5% of low-income people take transit to work. And sales taxes that are funding most of RTD are regressive. That means that 95% of low-income people who don't ride transit are disproportionately paying to support transit systems, which are disproportionately used by high-income people. Less than 5% of low-income people take transit to work, but 7% of high-income people, people whose incomes are over $75,000 a year, take transit to work. So transit is disproportionately used by high-income people and is disproportionately paid for by low-income people. To me, that's social injustice. Transit is one of the most socially unjust institutions we have today, and we should get rid of it. Get rid of the subsidies to it anyway.
You mentioned on one of our other conversations, Randall, that one of the most compassionate things that we could do, instead of having low-income people ride light rail, would be to provide a car. And I've just thought about it, driving over here early in the morning, a single mom standing out waiting for a bus or a train, there's danger in that. It's cold out. It really is. It's much more compassionate to help them get their own individual transportation, that they can go where they want to, when they want to.
Well, the University of Minnesota has a group of people who are called the Accessibility Observatory, and they estimate how many jobs the average resident of an urban area can reach in 10, 20, 30, 40 minutes of driving versus 10, 20, 30, 40 minutes of taking transit versus 10, 20, 30, 40 minutes of riding a bicycle. And transit is so bad that generally you can reach 30 times as many jobs in a car than you can on transit. But what's worse is that a competent bicycle rider can reach more jobs in 20, 30, or 40 minutes than they can if they were taking transit. So transit just does not access very many jobs, aside from all the inconveniences of being out on cold days or hot days or waiting for late buses or trains or whatever. It just doesn't get you to very many places. And the idea that we need to run transit for people, it's an obsolete system. It was designed 100 years ago, and cities have changed, and transit hasn't. They haven't changed their business model in 100 years. So
okay.
It's time to expose them to the market instead of giving them this cushion of huge subsidies. And let them innovate, let them respond to market changes instead of allowing them to retain a 100-year-old business model.
Oh, for sure. Randall O'Toole, thank you so much. You can get all of this information at ti.org/antiplanner. Randall, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, my friends, today, be grateful. Read great books. Think good thoughts. Listen to beautiful music. Communicate and listen well. Live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals and, like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you. God bless America. And pray for America. But tell them if I don't serve.